Good morning, everyone. Morning, Brother Webster, and good morning to all the members of the Southland Area Churches of Christ, or Church of Christ. And we particularly want to say good morning to those of you who are watching by way of this Zoom telecast. I'd like to also greet those that are in company with me here at the house. My wife, of course, Deborah Ann, and my sister Vanessa, who has come online along with her fiance, James, and one of my beloved first cousins, Pat, is here with us, and to God be the glory. If you have your copy of God's holy and divine word, once again, we invite you to the book of John, as it was read in your hearing. And for emphasis sake, I'd just like to read one verse. That's John chapter 12 and verse number 32, after which I will give you a subject topic for your prayerful consideration. In John chapter 12 and verse number 32, these are the words for us this morning. Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Again, the Lord said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." I use for a subject once again for your prayerful consideration. I call it this morning the drawing card of God. The drawing card of God. And this card is definitely the right card. Now, I know and I'm very aware and conscious of the fact that today has been set aside and has been earmarked on your yearly calendars all over the world as Father's Day. And for the record, and even though I was pre-scheduled by Brother Webster, the minister of the Southland Area Church of Christ, to bring today's message on this third Sunday in June. But then out of mere respect and out of protocol, I reached out to Brother Webster early in the week via text message in order to let him know that I would be willing to postpone this speaking engagement to a later date in order to give him the pleasure and the distinctive honor to speak himself to the men of his congregation on this most notable day. But if y'all know Brother Webster, like I'm learning to know him, then y'all already know that one of the unique things about Brother Webster is that he is a man of his word. And with that said, when we finally was able to speak over the phone, Brother Webster said to me, he said, "No, Brother Cotter." He said, "You have been scheduled to speak on this day, and we want you to speak." And all I had to say was, "Yes, sir, I'm ready." Now, with that said, I tip my hat off to my preaching friend, Brother Webster. And I believe I can call him my friend this morning, for being so humble and so modest and so unselfish. And my level of respect has gone off the chart for Brother Webster, even though because he may have well known what today is before I reached out to him and what it means to society. That is, again, it's Father's Day. A day for men all over the world to be honored and revered for their parental parenthood in the society. But now, being the kind of preacher that Brother Webster is, this man of God, this God-sent man, also knows and understands that to the believers of God, to those of us who are blood-bought members of the body of Christ, that even though today is Father's Day, but more than that, today is still the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. So again, thank you, Brother Webster, for being so authentic and real about this thing called church. Now, I'm sure and fully aware, and most of you already know, that it is typical for preachers on this day, on Father's Day, to deliver messages that relate and are associated with men as paternal fathers and as leaders in the home and in the church. And I even had a few messages in mind that I could have easily presented to you today that would have definitely helped somebody and would have enlightened the men of the congregations of churches of Christ in general. For example, when I looked into my file cabinet and took an inventory of past Father Day messages that I have presented in years gone by, I could have presented today a message entitled, Find Me a Man. And this is where God instructs Jeremiah, the prophet, in Jeremiah chapter 5. God said to Jeremiah, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof and see if you can find a man. And then I had a message I entitled, I call it Man Up. And sisters would have been like this one. And this is the message when Joshua stood up before the people and said to the people, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then I had another message in mind. I titled it, Who's Your Baby Daddy? And this was a message about Father Abraham and his two baby mamas. And how that one of them became the offspring of the seed of promise. And then I could have delivered the message. I call this one From Boys to Men. But it was the wise man Solomon who said, if you remember, Solomon said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Solomon said, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So, beloved, I could have used any one of those messages for today. And I know that somebody on this Zoom telecast as well would have gotten help and encouragement from any one of those sermons. But I got to thinking, and I got to pondering within myself. And I say, yes, this is Father's Day. And yes, we need to encourage, nurture, and build up our men, and especially those who are fathers, especially those in the church, as well as outside of the church. But Brother Webster, because this is also the Lord's Day, because this is the first day of the week, I've been preaching long enough to realize that this thing isn't about us, but it's about him who died for us. It's about him that was crucified that we might be justified. It's about him that was hung up for our hang-ups. It's about him who died that we might have life and have life everlasting. And so Jesus says to us this morning, Jesus said, listen, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, with all of that said, and with all of that I'm aware of, and know that you, the members of the Southland Area Church of Christ, all the stuff y'all been going through, and all the things that are set before y'all, and how that you have weathered the storm, especially after surviving one of the worst pandemics that have ever faced this great nation in which we live for the past year and a half, and then to Brother Webster, along with the faithful men that are in leadership at this church, trying to patiently secure a physical place of worship in order to keep the members of your congregation spiritually strong, edified, and uplifted, and being able to once again come together under one roof, under one purpose, to praise and worship God collectively. And so I truly believe this morning, my brothers and sisters, that in order to achieve these goals, in order to reach these milestones, then no doubt, and it is without question, that Jesus must be lifted up. Yes, if you, the members of the Southland Area Church of Christ, if y'all ever plan to make a difference in this world, in this 21st century, in your city, in your neighborhood, and even in your homes, if you plan to make a difference in the lives of those folk who know not Jesus, in the pardon of their sins, then without question, Jesus must be lifted up, because a lifted up Christ is definitely the drawing card. On Friday, April 15th, in the year 2019, in Paris, France, just 1 week before Easter, the whole world stood still, for people everywhere were riveted and glued to their television screens as they watched this awful and destructive fire that nearly burned down the Notre Dame de Paris Cathedral in Paris, France. This 850-year cathedral with a spire, that sat on top of this old Gothic architectural landmark, reaching 300 feet above the highest point of the building, almost as if it was reaching up to heaven. That 750 tons, 1.5 million pounds of steel spire, this marvel of French splendor, not only was a working cathedral in France, but it was a world treasure. It was revered and well known all over the world. And so tourists generally went to France not only to visit the Eiffel Tower or to just walk down the French Riviera, not just to sail down the romantic Le Seine River, but many people all over the world would tour Paris just to see or be seen in front of the Cathedral of Notre Dame. This same cathedral was made famous by Victor Hugo in his writings of the classic movie, y'all remember, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. St. Thomas Aquinas, he preached his first sermon at the cathedral of Notre Dame. But now this beautiful array of Gothic French architects that has stood for nearly 8 centuries, in 1 hour, 1 hour, 60 minutes, it went up in smoke. And that spiral, 700 feet spiral, came crashing through the glass roof ceiling of that church building. And it seemed like, y'all, on that day, the whole world just stopped, to watch Notre Dame burn. The entire city of France, busiest city in the world, it stood still. Yes, all of its local residents, along with the entire world, stopped to notice the church was on fire. I said, Paris, France, and I'm going somewhere with that. Paris, France, the busiest city in the world, caught fire. But now just suppose, oh, y'all help me this morning. Just suppose if all the members of the Church of Christ at Southland, all the churches of Christ in Chicago, just suppose, Pat, they will catch fire. Oh, come on, help me, somebody. And I ain't talking about catching fire in a physical sense. But just suppose, Brother Hardy, just suppose that the members of the Southland Area Church of Christ call fire for the Lord. For it was Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah said one day as he had gone through his many ups and downs of preaching. Jeremiah, if you remember, he proclaimed before the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm not going to preach anymore in your name. But then he turned right around and said, but your word is like a fire shut up in my bones. So just suppose if the Holy Spirit would set all the church members at Southland on fire, I wonder what would happen up north, in the Southland area, if the Church of Christ caught fire for the Lord. I believe the whole city of Chicago would stop to watch y'all burn. I mean, if we could ever get in a permanent attachment in our minds, I believe if we could ever just get it in our hearts and in our minds that Jesus Christ is the Savior of this world, if we can ever start shouting over the fact that one Friday he died to save us, but early one Sunday morning got up from the grave to redeem us, and that one day he's coming back again to receive us unto himself without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing, to present us unto his Father in heavenly places. I'm saying this morning, church, if we ever caught fire and lifted up Jesus, the world will stop to see the church on fire. I ask the question, when was the last time that you caught fire about your faith? When was the last time that you burned with eager and enthusiasm on Sunday morning, just knowing that Jesus is the head of your life? When was the last time that you got so excited about the Lord that you couldn't wait to get to church on Sunday morning? Listen, my brothers and sisters, and I know that y'all are all excited about one day getting into y'all new building, cause some folk feel like they ain't been to church unless they got a building. Acting like the building is the church. But I got news for you. The church building, the sanctuary, that brick and mortar is not the church. But Paul says in the Corinthian letter, Paul said, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. But now, listen, my brothers and sisters, and some of y'all like paternal brothers and sisters to me. I've known you for years. But listen to this. when y'all finally get in your new building, and if y'all are serious about serving the Lord, then get your 3x5 index card and put it on your pew. Put it in the row that you plan to sit in. Put it somewhere that's conspicuous or well seen. And then when you get in there, write on that card that this is a disclaimer. And write on that card, if you plan to sit in this room, there's going to be some noise. If you're going to sit next to me, it's going to be some racket. If you want to sit next to me in this section, it's going to get loud. Because sooner or later, the preacher's going to mention the name Jesus. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting excited just hearing the name this morning. And I may clap, and I may shout. I may even stand up and stretch my arms. Or I might even start dancing. So maybe you want to pick another pew. Because whenever I hear the name Jesus, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to shout. I'm going to holler. I'm going to get so excited because God has been good to me. Is that all right? As a matter of fact, God has been better to me than I've been to myself. Listen, this morning, I'm going to shout right now. Ain't going to wait till next Easter because I may not live that long. But I'm going to thank God right now because of the doors that he has already opened, because of the windows that he's already cracked. I'm going to shout right now because of the prayers that he's already answered, because of the tears that God has already dried, and because of the ways that God has already made out of no way at all. So I'm about to get loud. Y'all ain't heard me yet. But I'm about to get loud. I'm about to get noisy right now. I tell folk in the church, churches of Christ, we too quiet.
Okay.
We too quiet in the church of Christ. But I don't blame you if you're going to be quiet if God hadn't done nothing for you. But if you know it was nobody but God that woke you up this morning, you ought to say, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Let them say so. Bible says, let everything that has breath, let it praise
the Lord.
The Lord. So, church, listen to me. There is nothing else. I said there is nothing else and no one else that draws men and women, boys and girls like the uplifting Christ.
Yep.
20 centuries of Christian history proves the drawing power of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When he is passionately and purposely and properly lifted up. For it is Christ crucified who draws. It is Christ crucified that meets the deepest needs of the heart of all mankind. It is that atoning Savior. There is nothing else and no one else whose death for the sins of the whole world that saves them from the dreadful and holy wrath of God. Preach any other Christ but a crucified Christ, and you will not draw men for long. Preach any gospel but a gospel of shed blood and atonement. It will not draw me in for long. But Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2, Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything or have anything else among you except Christ and him crucified. But the gospel, Paul says, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And then listen to me carefully, my brothers and sisters. Listen to this. You see, Unitarianism does not draw men to Christ because it presents a gospel without power and without the atoning blood of Jesus. Christian Science, it draws crowds like Tom Cruise, Ellen DeGeneres, John Travolta, and even the late Robin Williams, who all wish to obtain a religion without paying the price. These so-called religious groups founded and started by men, they have some resemblance of God, but there is no sacrifice. But it is a bloodless gospel, so that it does not draw men to Jesus. Congregationalism has a religious theory without a crucified Savior. And at one of its famed seminaries, Ann Arbor Newton is now merging with Yale Divinity School, because last year, Ann Arbor Newton only graduated 10 students. And that's because they have a theology with no blood in it. They are preaching, but they're not preaching about the crucified Christ. By the question that I have to raise today before you, my brothers and sisters, I got a question. Why does Christ being lifted up on the cross, why does it still draw men unto himself? Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, not your opinions, not your philosophy, not your theocentric piety, not your two cents, but Jesus said, if I be lifted on the cross, I will draw all men, not to a doctrine, not to some church or some religious society, not to some creed, some ritual, some tradition or some religious cult. But Jesus said, I'm going to draw men when y'all lift me up unto myself. And I said this once, but I think I have to say it one more game. You see, I like Brother Webster. I told y'all this the last time I was on the line. And I think that Brother Webster is an outstanding and upright minister of the gospel. But if you only come to church because of Brother Webster, then I'm afraid not to say that you won't be coming to church long. Because Brother Webster, just like myself, and any other preacher, we all have a tendency and the capability to fall short of God's glory. For if you're looking for a perfect man that lives above sin, then look no further, because the Bible declares that there is none righteous, no, not one. Therefore, if you don't come to church, listen, members, for no other reason but for Jesus Christ, then you are coming for the wrong reason. You see, we who are not Christians, we are not Christians. We are not the children of God because we've been so good, but because of God's grace,
yes,
and God's mercy, mm-hmm, and because of the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, a crucified Christ, a Christ that is lifted on the cross, is still, and I know right about it, it is still making pimps to leave their pimping. and become preachers. A Christ that is lifted on a cross is still making ladies of the street to leave the street and to become missionary and go back into those same streets. Tell it, folk, come and see, I found a man. A Christ that is lifted on the cross is still making young men to pull their pants up and then pull out their Bibles. Young girls to pull their dress hems down and their necklines up and singing, a change has come over me.
Yeah.
Yes, in spite of all the obstacles that life may throw our way, in spite of all the trials and the tribulation that we have to go through in this life, still going through and may yet have to go through, in spite of all the lies that's been told on us, in spite of all the lies that's been stuck in our backs, in spite of all the disappointments and downfalls and setbacks that we have to deal with in this life, we still got up early this morning. I don't know about y'all, but I got up early this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I joined the Zoom telecast with joy and thanksgiving in my veins and love, peace, and happiness in my heart, because we know that one Friday, Jesus was lifted up. My brothers and sisters, listen to me and listen to me well. You see, Jesus on a cross is better known as a crucifix. And one of the main things that I got against a crucifix, when I told my wife last night I needed a crucifix for my sermon as an illustration, devil looked at me all crazy and said, you ain't bringing one of those things up in here. But let me tell you about a crucifix. Let me tell you one thing I have against wearing a crucifix around my neck on a chain or displayed a crucifix in my home is that, listen, on a crucifix is a dead Jesus. Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
I said on a crucifix
is
a dead Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this is why, Brother Webster, I believe that this is why the Catholic Church is so quiet, y'all. And this is probably the same reason why the Lutheran Church is so quiet and the Episcopal, you can hear a pin drop in their worship service, because hanging visibly in their sanctuaries is a crucifix, and on that crucifix is a dead Jesus Christ. And I've learned, church, that folk won't make no noise on a dead Jesus. Oh, y'all help me now.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes no sense to me at all for a person to shout on a dead Jesus. But I serve a risen Savior. And the songwriter, he said he's in the world today. And I know that he's living no matter what men may say. For I see his hand of mercy, and I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time that I need him. Oh, come on, somebody. He's always. Oh, somebody said he's the on-time God. Somebody said God may not come when you're wanting to. Come on, somebody, testify. But when he get there, oh, come on, somebody, ain't he on time? I wish I had a witness. You see, he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today.
Mm-hmm.
He walks with me. He talks with me. And as I tarry along my way, you see, I'm trying to tell y'all, you can't shout over dead Jesus, because when life gets hard, I need a God who's alive. When my enemies start closing in on me, I need a God that's alive. When old age come and steal my health from me, I need somebody to walk with me and tell me that I am his own. So I can't shout over no dead Jesus. Again, why does the Christ lifted up on the cross, why does it still draw men and women to himself? Why was Christ lifted up on the cross? Still make men and women shout. I'll tell you why. And then this little sermon will be yours. Again, why does Christ lifted on the cross draw men and women to himself? First of all, listen. Christ being lifted on the cross, it meets our deepest need. And so what is, preacher, our greatest need as mere mortal earthly men and women? Well, I believe that I fear a successful contradiction that man's greatest need in this world, man's deepest need in this world, is that man needs a savior.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, y'all help me now. You see, if we needed money, God would send us an economist. Oh, help me, somebody. If we needed mental health, God would have sent us a psychologist. If we needed physical help, God would have sent us a nutritionist. If we needed wisdom, God would have sent us a philosopher. And if we just needed encouragement and some lifting up and how to gain our self-esteem, then God would have just sent us a life coach. But now God knew, and he knew this before the foundation of the world, that all men somehow, somewhere need salvation. Therefore, God sent us a savior. Didn't he do it, y'all? Bible said, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave or sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. You see, God knew. He knew that all men would need an atoning savior, who can, by his death, can make propitiation for our sins, thus reconciling us to a holy God, and delivering us from his awful wrath, and bringing us out into the sunlight of his glorious favor. We need God. God don't need us. You see, Christianity, and I'm trying to hurry up to my close. You see, Christianity, listen, church, is the only religion that offers an atoning savior. Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, Buddha offers enlightenment, but he doesn't offer salvation. Confucius and Confucianism offers a great teacher, but it doesn't offer an atoning savior. Mohammed and the Muslim faith, it offers Elijah Mohammed, of whom they claim to be the last prophet, but they don't offer a crucified Christ. And in the voice of an old philosopher, he said one day that Buddha, his bones are somewhere bleaching on a lonely hillside. Mohammed, voices hushed. Confucius, vision is darkened and resting in the couch of nature's night, awaiting the dawn of eternity shining light. But the grave that's in Jerusalem is still empty. The cross is still vacant, because we do not serve a dead Jesus on a crucifix, but we serve a risen Christ from an empty tomb. Bible says that Jesus, and I like this, church, if you ain't got nothing else to shout about this. Jesus became sin for us, because the Bible says he knew no sin, that he might become the righteousness of God. Jesus came to earth and offered himself upon a cross. He done it willingly. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And Bible said he became a curse for us. For the book says, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Now, for the record, and this is the reason all of us are viewing Zoom telecast right now. We either have, watch this, we either have or need to be drawn by the lifted up Jesus. And this is because the Bible class in Romans 3:23, the book says all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, the book said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Christ Jesus. And I know some preachers, or I hear them say it all the time, that y'all have sinned. But the Bible said what? All have sinned. And throughout the legends of the Bible talks about three words for sin. And as I heard to my conclusion, it talks about trespass, it talks about sin, and it talks about iniquities. And whether you're sinning, whether you're trespassing, or whether you're committing an iniquity, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. Then last but not least, the reason that a lifted Jesus is still drawing men unto himself is because not only does it meet our deeper need, but last but not least, Christ being lifted on the cross, it reveals the love of God. Am I right about it? Bible said God so loved the world. I tell you, they used to sing a song in the church that I was worth dying for, but let me be the one to tell you, ain't none of us worth dying for in the sight of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Bible said, in God's sight, we're all as filthy rags. We're stench in the nostrils of God. But one day, Jesus went to the cross, hung, bled, and died, and became sin for us. And Jesus made a way for us. Out of no way to get back to God. And so, listen, my brothers and sisters, the Bible said God loved us, or better yet, we love God. Why? Because he first loved us. Am I right about it? And God didn't just say that he loved us, but according to Romans chapter 5, old Paul said, God showed, or he commended his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Am I right about it? I got to close. Listen, you're not here because you dress like a Christian. I'm not here because I talk like a Christian. And every once in a while, I walk like a Christian. Because you wear a big cross around your neck, that don't make you holy. Because there's a difference in wearing a cross and bearing the cross. You see, the drawing card that drew all of us to Jesus is a crucified Christ. You see, the reason that all of us got dressed this morning and came and tuned in to this Zoom telecast is because one Friday, am I right about it? One afternoon on Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus of Nazareth died for us. Oh, didn't he die? You see, he did not die for the good people, but he died for sinners just like you and me and somebody else today beside myself. You know that God is the drawing card. It's not some building with padded pews and stained glass windows. Somebody else knows on this Zoom telecast this morning that is not the preacher or the deacon or the elder that drew you to God. It's not the famous landmark or the statuette or that monument carved by the hands of men and put on display all over the world. And somebody else beside myself know that God's drawing card is not the deacon, is not the elder, is not the preacher, not the preacher like Brother Webster and myself. I'm right about it. But thank God this morning we have this treasure that God put in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of ourselves. But I came on this Zoom telecast this morning in order to tell somebody that God's drawing card is a crucified Christ that was lifted up on the cross. And all of us today have been attracted to the cross. We've been drawn to the cross of Christ. I'm talking about that Jesus that was hung on that old royal cross, that by his stripes are we healed. Oh, I tell you this morning, we're drawn to Jesus because he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, reared in Nazareth, baptized in the Jordan, performed miracles in the devil played, wept in Jerusalem, prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was tried. I'm talking about Jesus in the hall of Pontius Pilate. He was beaten and spat upon. His clothes were stripped from him. Nails were riveted through his feet. He was led to a place called Golgotha, lifted up on the cross, hung there from the sixth to the ninth hour in agony and in pain. I'm talking about Jesus. He held his head up to heaven and said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Held his head up again and said, "Father, it is finished." Looked up to heaven one more time and said, "It's finished." Dropped his head and locks of his shoulder, gave up the ghost, was pierced in his side and pouring blood and water, buried him in a borrowed tomb. The early Sunday morning, Jesus stepped out of the heart of earth and said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven as well as in earth." Oh, aren't you glad about it this morning to know that Jesus died, but now he lives forevermore? Don't you know who I'm talking about? Y'all, I like y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the drawing card who was Adam Redeemer, Abel's Vindicator. He's Adam's sacrifice. He's Noah's Ark. Y'all won't help me, are you, this morning? You see, somebody has been drawn to Jesus because they realize that Jesus is Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's Daniel's stone and Jeremiah's hammer. He's God only son, Mary's baby boy. He's James and Jude's elder brother. He's Matthew's king. He's Mark's suffering savior. Luke's great physician. He's John's word made flesh. He's the acts of the coming of the Holy Ghost, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the blessed and the only potentate. I'm talking about Jesus, the Christ. He's the faithful and the true witness. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the lily of the valley, rose of Sharon. Jesus is the bright and morning star. He's the day spring of Israel, the stem of Jesse, root of David. He's distinctive in supernatural capacity. He's spiritual in majestic majesty. He's exclusive in spiritual beauty, radiant in eternal splendor. He's the God of God. He's the Prince of Prince. He's the King of Kings. He's the fairest of 10,000. Y'all know him, don't you? I need to tell you that one Friday he was taken to a place called Calvary, died that we might live. Oh, what a wonderful drawing card. I'm talking about the crucified Christ that was lifted up from the earth. Oh, what a wonderful drawing card. And whoa, what a wonderful attraction. But that's not the greatest attraction of them all, because one day in the not too distant future, the Bible said the sky is going to bust wide open and Jesus is going to step out on the cloud. And the Bible said, and a trump of God shall sound, and it's going to sound so loud, it's going to wake up the dead, and with the voice of the archangel. And I like this, y'all. The Bible said, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and they that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air and shall meet the Lord. Where? In the air, and shall so ever be with the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I know good preaching when I hear it. Well, my wife said, a great day is coming. But let me be the one to tell you, if you're on the Zoom line, it's going to be a great day for some. Oh. And it's going to be a terrible day for others. But the Bible said, what shall become of them that know not Jesus in the pardon of their sin? And if the righteous shall scarcely make it in. Where shall the godly and the sinner appear?
Yes.
Oh, in that great getting up morning. Some gonna go to his left, some gonna go to his right. Some he gonna call sheep, and some he gonna say, you goat. Some he gonna say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And others gonna say, depart from me, I never knew ya. But I don't know about y'all, but I wanna be in that number when the saints go marching in. And the Bible said that if you wanna be in that number up there, then you gotta be in that number down here. For the Bible said in Acts chapter 2, Jesus said that same Paul Peter said that same Jesus whom you crucified, God made him both Lord and Christ. And the Bible said when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do in order to be saved? Peter didn't tell him, Brother Hardy, to come down and lay your hand on the radio. Peter didn't tell him to tarry and pray. But Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sin. And the Bible said, they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I tell you again, if you want to be with them up there, you got to get with them down here. And the Bible said, after they were baptized, Acts 2:47, they were praising God and having faith with all people. And the Lord, not the preacher, but the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I tell you, my friend, once you're baptized, God's going to add you to the church, not the church of your choice, but the church of Christ. But Jesus said, upon the rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Bible teaches us that there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, but he that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I tell you, my friend, the church of Christ is heaven bound, is hell proof, is Holy Spirit filled. You need to get in the church of Christ before it's everlasting said and eternally too late. And the Bible says you come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe what you heard, that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. Repent, Luke 13:3. Repent or perish. Confess the sweet name or mortal tongue. Romans 10:9. Matthew 10:32. And then be baptized in the liquid tomb of baptism for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38. Acts 22:16. And then remain faithful unto death, and the Lord himself, the faithful witness, shall give you that crown of life. Amen. That faded not away.
Amen.
Jesus said, church, if I be lifted up from the earth, not TD Jakes, not Joel Osteen, but if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. You heard the gospel this morning, my friend. You've heard it, and you've heard enough that will save the whole world. But the thing about it, the Bible said, he that hear it and believe it, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Won't you come today, my friend, and we stand together, stand and sing. Jesus is calling. Jesus is on the main line. My brother sung a few minutes ago. Tell him what you want. Won't you sing?